Hi, everybody, and good afternoon, good morning, good evening, whenever you're listening to it. In light of everything that is going on today, I decided to post this recording here. This is an explanation on what mass deception and mass control really is, in the sense that how it started, where it started. It gives you a little bit of an understanding of why some people act in really strange ways that are really not understandable, and also a little bit of what's going on with people and why is everyone in the media basically saying the same thing over and over again. If you listen to all the channels, you might hear the same story. So listen to this, and please let me know what you think. Listen to it all the way to the end. I know you will learn something. It is kind of long and it does get boring along the way, but you will learn a whole bunch of new things. And you should actually really take notes, because this is really important information. This guy is a little bit dramatic, but I promise you, you will learn a lot. So, and you still might have a lot of questions. This does not answer everything. This is just a background on a little bit of what's going on. And right now, I'm really even confused, and I don't really understand exactly what's going on or how we can ever get out of it, because it looks like we're heading towards a complete shutdown. But at least if you understand and you know how they brainwash you, you can, that's the only way that you can really not get brainwashed, because if you don't know you're being brainwashed, there's no chance. So please listen to this, and that way you can maybe discern your own level of opinions and how you feel, so that you can feel more comfortable with what you feel. Anyway, I hope it helps. This is Tippi Felsenstein here on Tippi Talk, and please enjoy this recording.
Psychological warfare has been waged against America for much of this century. This war for the mind of the public has been facilitated by the emergence of mass media and the transformation of American education by behavioral psychologists. In the book 1984, George Orwell warned that people were in danger of losing their human qualities and freedom of mind without being aware of it while it was happening, because of psychological, emotional, and intellectual manipulation. Mind control. Mind control in America. The most effective way to protect yourself from subconscious manipulation is by being aware of how it works. What the conscious mind believes, the subconscious acts on. It works like programming a computer. Information is fed into a computer, and the computer acts on it. However, if the information fed into the computer is wrong, it still acts on it. If a person believes something that is not true, the memory banks of the subconscious mind do not correct the error, but act on it. The theory of cognitive dissonance holds that the mind automatically and involuntarily rejects information not in line with previously accepted thoughts and beliefs. Many of the things that people believe are never questioned, especially when the information has come from a reliable source. It becomes easy to lose sight of why people believe some of the things that they do.
Unser Führer, Adolf Hitler, dich!
People can be led to believe something that is not true when that information is carefully timed and presented by an accepted and respected authority. The purpose of propaganda is to direct public attention to certain facts.
The whole art consists in doing this so skillfully that everyone will be convinced that the fact is real,
wrote Adolf Hitler in Mein Kampf. To be effective, propaganda must constantly short-circuit all conscious thinking and operate on the individual subconsciously. The principles behind the big lie of propaganda are the same principles of mind control, hypnotic suggestion, mental programming, distraction, and repetition. Distraction focuses the attention of the conscious mind on one or more of the five senses in order to stop conscious thinking, thus producing a state of mind that is similar to daydreaming. Think of the times you have caught yourself staring blankly at the television screen, losing all sense of time and place. When you stop conscious thinking and your mind goes blank, this is the hypnotic state of mind. This altered state occurs naturally, but can also be induced by clever manipulation. Think of the times you have seen flashing words in TV commercials. The flashing words are a distraction for your eyes to lock onto in order to induce hypnosis. The purpose of this is to reduce any resistance to the message by stopping all thought and analysis. Watching television often produces an altered state of consciousness. Though not consciously perceived, the television screen, while appearing static, actually flickers. Any repeating light or sound pattern can lead you into an altered state. A hypnotist uses patterned speech by varying the pacing and inflection of his voice to induce this state of mind in his subject. It is in this state of mind where one is the most receptive to mental programming. Whether or not the information takes hold in the mind depends on two factors: trust in the source of the information and repetition of the message. Trust in the source of the information induces acceptance of the message as true, even if it is not understood. Repetition of the message embeds it in the subconscious so that acceptance of its truth and accuracy becomes a conditioned response. Thus, this information will be accepted as true without thinking about it whenever it is presented again. Subliminal perception is the process whereby you receive and respond to visual and sound information without being aware of it. The message in the form of printed words, pictures, or voices is presented either so rapidly or so faintly that you are not consciously aware of having seen or heard anything. In 1957, marketing researcher and psychologist James Vickery tested subliminal ads in a New Jersey movie theater. The messages,
"Hungry? Eat popcorn."
And,
"Drink Coca-Cola."
were flashed on the screen at 1/3,000th of a second every 5 seconds during the movie. Sales increased for popcorn and Coca-Cola. Every major advertising agency in North America has sponsored extensive research into subliminal perception. Vance Packard's 1957 book, The Hidden Persuaders, revealed that American industry was researching the use of subliminal messages to motivate people to buy their products. Dr. Wilson Brian Key has documented in 4 books the widespread use of subliminal ads by the advertising industry. Messages programmed directly to the subconscious bypass critical analysis and the conscious choice to accept or reject the message. Repetition of the message constitutes mental programming. Subliminal messages have been used in music, radio, television, and movies. In November 1957, TV station WTWO in Bangor, Maine, experimented with projecting a subliminal message on television. In 1958, radio station KOL in Seattle broadcast subliminal messages under the music played by its disc jockeys.
"How about a cup of coffee?"
was one, and another was,
"Someone's at the door."
The movie The Exorcist used both subliminal sounds and pictures. A full-screen death mask of Father Karras was flashed on the screen at 1/48th of a second a number of times during the movie. The consciously unnoticed word pig appeared many times throughout the movie. The terrified squealing of pigs being slaughtered and the buzzing sound of angry bees was mixed into the soundtrack. Laboratory experiments show that people will react to certain words, pictures, and sounds with quickened pulse, faster breathing, sweating palms, and other indications of heightened emotions. People actually fainted in response to this movie. Many became nauseous, and many had nightmares. William Peter Blatty, the author of the novel and producer of the movie, was a CIA operative who served as the policy branch chief of the Psychological Warfare Division of the United States Air Force.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have a grave announcement to make. Incredible as it may seem, both the observations of science and the evidence of our eyes lead to the inescapable assumption that those strange beings who landed in the Jersey farmlands tonight are the vanguard of an invading army from the planet Mars.
On October 30th, 1938, thousands of people fled from a crisis that had no existence except in their imaginations. A radio broadcast of a dramatization of H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds led thousands of listeners to believe that the planet Earth had been invaded by Martians. The 1983 TV movie Special Bulletin about terrorists exploding an atomic bomb in Charleston, South Carolina, prompted numerous calls to stations across America from people who wanted to know if it was real. In both instances, despite disclaimers, people thought they were listening to an authentic newscast. Think for a moment about the way newscasters speak, and you will realize that they all talk the same way, regardless of their ethnic background. Whether they be black, white, Hispanic, or Oriental, with few exceptions, they all sound alike. The patterned speech of a newscaster is similar to that of a hypnotist. The eye contact made with the viewer is also used by the hypnotist. Emotions can be stirred, attitudes and states of mind revealed by nuances of tone and variation in vocal quality. The camera can reveal the smallest movement of the most subtle change of expression and give it significance and definition. With the selective use of camera angles and judicious cutting, it is simple to distort the meaning of what someone says, not only by cutting out statements, but by cutting in a reaction shot or by adding laughter or applause. A picture may be worth a thousand words, but it can also deceive one into believing something that is not true. The practice of staging events and employing impersonators of political figures was often used by the early newsreel companies. The capacity to lie with a picture and be undetected has been greatly enhanced by modern computer technology. Is it possible that all verbal and nonverbal communication has been identified, defined, and reduced to a code that can be manipulated? Is it possible to program an entire population to respond to certain words, images, vocal qualities, body movements, gestures, and expressions? The result of such programming would be a population that is highly suggestible, a population that can be manipulated with precision. '60s rock superstar Jimi Hendrix said,
"You can hypnotize people with music, and when you get them at their weakest point, you can preach into their subconscious whatever you want to say."
The power of music has been recognized throughout history. Plato and Aristotle believed that people could be controlled by music. Music affects the emotions, the mind, and the body. Sound causes changes in body chemistry, blood pressure, breathing, and digestion. Fast music will speed up the nervous system, while slow music will slow it down. The entire body is sensitive to sound. Low tones will vibrate in the lower parts of the body, and high tones will vibrate in the higher portions and on into the head. Even sounds that cannot be heard affect you. Low-frequency infrasonic sounds affect the internal organs and can cause headaches, nausea, dizziness, and fatigue. Much of today's popular rock music is built around a heavy bass pattern louder than the melody. These loud, low-frequency vibrations and the driving beat of most rock music affect the pituitary gland. The pituitary gland produces hormones that control male and female sexual responses. These low-frequency vibrations vibrate in the lower parts of the body so that the music feels good. Though the message of some rock music is thoughtful and positive, the message of many rock videos and the music, particularly heavy metal, is a negative mental program that glorifies violence and deviant behavior. A visit to your local record store to check the lyrics on the back of the albums will reveal recurring themes preoccupied with violence, rape, sadomasochism, suicide, illicit sex, drug and alcohol abuse, fascination with the occult, and in some instances, race antagonism. Backward masking, where a message is spoken or sung that intentionally means something else when played backwards, has been used in some rock music since the Beatles first used the technique. The subconscious can decode and read messages spoken or sung backwards. When played backwards, the song Miss Me Blind by Culture Club repeats the message, "Be in sin when you're not," over and over again. First, listen to the music cut played forwards. Played backwards, the message is, "Be in sin when you're not." The use of backward masking may be far more extensive than anyone suspects. There are literally hundreds of examples and a disturbing proliferation of satanic messages. For example, from the album Raising Hell by Run DMC, listen to the music cut played forwards. Played backwards, the message is Hail Satan. It is important to note that the lyrics of many rock songs are not clearly distinguishable consciously. When you do not hear the message clearly, you cannot make the conscious choice to accept or reject it. When you cannot make that choice, or when that choice is taken away from you, the message is programmed to your subconscious without your being aware of it. The repeating beat of the music is a distraction for the conscious mind to lock onto in order to stop conscious thinking, thus causing the hypnotic state of mind, a state of mind that is similar to daydreaming. Repetition of the message constitutes mental programming. In time, the effects of this kind of programming will appear. These effects can be physical, psychological, and emotional. No! Numerous motion pictures have precipitated violence over the years. The Warriors, one of a number of movies about street gangs, was followed by a rash of violence in cities across the nation. Approximately 28 people died playing Russian roulette in response to seeing the Deer Hunter. The press reported that John Hinckley Jr. told his attorneys that the idea to assassinate President Reagan came to him after seeing the movie Taxi Driver. A report released in 1982 by the National Institute of Mental Health said,
Violence on television does lead to aggressive behavior by children and teenagers who watch the programs.
Dr. Thomas Narut from the U.S. Naval Hospital at NATO headquarters in Naples investigated the use of film to train servicemen who were not inclined to kill to be able to do so. Films were screened which showed people being maimed or killed violently to desensitize the men to those acts. A progressively more graphic depiction of violence in movies, television, and music desensitizes people, especially young people, to real-life violence and increases tension, anxiety, and fear among older people who perceive increasing lawlessness and the breakdown of society. A University of Massachusetts study of crime programs on television reveals that law enforcement officers are often shown breaking and entering illegally, failing to inform suspects of their rights, terrorizing and coercing witnesses, and accepting bribes. Constitutional guarantees are regarded as bothersome technicalities that hinder the police in the performance of their duty. Professors Katch and Ahrens, who conducted the study, said,
"Police shows seem to reduce the ordinary citizen's awareness of constitutional rights and responsibilities. Many people engrossed in the drama of rapid-fire action or preoccupied with violence fail even to notice blatant police state tactics."
The Supreme Court has consistently expanded police powers and governmental authority while curtailing individual rights, thus enacting into law principles much like those presented on TV crime programming. The relationship between the increase in crime and the decrease in individual rights is a classic example of the Hegelian principle of bringing about change in a three-step process. The first step is to create a problem. The problem in this case is the increase in crime brought about in part by mass media programming of criminal behavior, making violence an acceptable means of problem solving, especially among young people. The second step is to create opposition to the problem. In other words, create anxiety and fear in the public so that people demand that something be done about it. The third step is to offer the solution to the problem that may entail a restriction of individual rights or some other predetermined goal, thus bringing about change that would have been impossible to impose on people without proper psychological conditioning. By causing emotional stress and mental confusion, judgment is impaired and suggestibility increased. Under these conditions, people allow their rights to be diminished without realizing its ramifications. The war on drugs is another example of this strategy in action. In 1936, a movie used hypnotic suggestion to give the audience instructions to do something. That movie was Reefer Madness. This movie used hypnotic techniques to both encourage marijuana use and promote anti-marijuana legislation. Speaking to a PTA meeting, high school principal Dr. Carroll commands parents,
"You and all the school parent groups about the country, and you must stand united on this and stamp out this frightful assassin of our youth. You can do it by bringing about compulsory education on the subject of narcotics in general, but red marijuana in particular." That is the purpose of this meeting, ladies and gentlemen, to lay the foundation for a nationwide campaign by you to demand by law such compulsory education.
When Dr. Carroll begins to speak, he raises a sheet of paper in front of him and reads certain facts from it. The white sheet of paper prominent in the middle of the screen is a distraction for the eyes to lock onto in order to cause the hypnotic state of mind while information is programmed to the audience verbally. Dr. Carroll delivers his lines with a hypnotic rhythm, that is punctuated by changes in pacing, volume, and tone, just like a hypnotist. He speaks with authority and looks into the camera and into the eyes of the audience. Both are hypnotic techniques. Picture yourself in a movie theater. Now imagine a huge face on the screen staring at you. The stated intent of Reefer Madness was to stamp out the menace of marijuana because it leads to, quote, acts of shocking violence ending often in incurable insanity, end quote. In contrast, young people are shown having a good time smoking marijuana, dancing, kissing, and retreating to the bedroom. By showing young people having a good time smoking marijuana, Reefer Madness encouraged young people to at least try it. By telling the story of normal kids going berserk because of marijuana, Reefer Madness scared older people into demanding that something be done. This movie was part of a well-orchestrated propaganda campaign that included newspapers, magazines, and radio. In 1937, about a year after the release of the movie, the Marijuana Tax Act was signed into law, with a major effect being to drive prices up for marijuana to make its cultivation and distribution profitable. Bertrand Russell, philosopher, educator, and atheist, wrote in his book The Impact of Science on Society,
I think the subject which will be of most importance politically is mass psychology. Its importance has been enormously increased by the growth of modern methods of propaganda. Although this science will be diligently studied, it will be rigidly confined to the governing class. The populace will not be allowed to know how its convictions were generated.
There could be no effective propaganda without mass media. Former national editor at the Washington Post and dean of the Graduate School of Journalism at the University of California at Berkeley, Ben Bagdikian, reported in his book, The Media Monopoly, published in 1983, that 50 corporations controlled most of America's media. When the second edition of the book was published in 1988, that number shrank to 29. In the third edition, published in 1990, the number shrank further to 26. The consolidation of ownership of the press, publishing, radio, television, and film makes the coordination of propaganda possible. The primary means for controlling people is the absolute control of information. Men in power often withhold information for selfish ends. They often present false information as a diversion for the same reason. Words can inform or misinform. What people think can be controlled by controlling information. Schools are institutions commanding trust, respect, and confidence. Picture a child studying in school, reading a book. The printed words are a distraction for the eyes to lock onto. The mind focuses on the content of the book. The information being read is being programmed to the reader's mind. The child has no reason to believe that a book would intentionally contain information that was false, and so accepts it as true, even if the child does not understand it. This is especially true in school, where there is pressure to accept what is presented as true, because that is expected, and compliance determines both your grade marks and future. Repetition of the information constitutes mental programming. Thus, this information is accepted as true without thinking about it whenever it is presented again. The college textbook, Introductory Psychology, Second Edition, by Jonathan L. Friedman, published by Addison Wesley Publishing Company, contains information that is false. This textbook, used for General Psychology Course 221 at the University of North Carolina at Greensboro, fall semester, 1982, says the following about brainwashing.
Some people who talk about brainwashing seem to believe that it involves extremely powerful methods that are almost irresistible. However, there is no evidence to suggest the existence of any such methods. In fact, the attempts at brainwashing we know about were not especially successful.
This is contrary to numerous documented reports, both academic and governmental, particularly official findings regarding brainwashing of POWs in Korea. There could be no effective propaganda without education. In the early 1900s, there began a dramatic shift in emphasis in American education, from intellectual development to socialization. The goals of education became political and social rather than academic. This was due in large part to John Dewey, who denied the existence of God and moral absolutes. As a result, the concept of right and wrong was removed from the schools, leading to a multitude of problems witnessed today. Professor Dewey based his educational reforms on the experimental psychology developed at Leipzig University by Wilhelm Wundt. Professor Wundt believed that man had no spirit. In his view, man was only a stimulus response animal. This kind of thinking led to the principles of conditioning developed by Ivan Pavlov and behavioral psychologists John Watson and B.F. Skinner. As a result, schools became indoctrination centers designed to bring about a new social order. Education of the young is used to condition them to what comes later, thereby eliminating the difference between propaganda and education. The mind is conditioned with vast amounts of information disguised as facts and knowledge and dispensed for ulterior motives. According to the minute books of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, the Carnegie Endowment, the Ford Foundation, the Guggenheim Foundation, and the Rockefeller Foundation worked in harmony for the control of education in America. The key to their plan to bring about social change was to alter the teaching of American history. The Guggenheim Foundation agreed to provide fellowships for doctoral candidates of American history selected by the Carnegie Endowment. 20 prospective teachers were assembled and taken to London to be briefed on what was expected of them. This group of historians became the nucleus of the American Historical Association.
Who controls the past controls the future. Who controls the present controls the past,
wrote George Orwell. Norman Dodd, research director for the Special Committee to Investigate Tax-Exempt Foundations created by the 83rd Congress, was invited in November 1953 to meet in New York with Roman Gaither, president of the Ford Foundation. Mr. Gaither made a most revealing admission.
Mr. Dodd, we operate here under directives which emanate from the White House. The substance of the directives under which we operate is that we shall use our grant-making power to alter life in the United States so that we can be comfortably merged with the Soviet Union.
In his book, Brainwashing in the High Schools, Professor E. Merrill Root examines 11 history textbooks used in the Evanston Township High School in Evanston, Illinois, from 1950 to 1952. None of these textbooks makes it clear that the government of the United States is not a democracy but a republic. The Founding Fathers defined the form of government they established as a constitutional republic. Not one of these textbooks lists the word republic in its index. The essence of psychological warfare is to confuse the meaning of words and infiltrate the mind with conflicting concepts. These textbooks interpret American history primarily as a class conflict between the rich and the poor, a Marxist doctrine. A trend shared by each of the textbooks reviewed was advocacy of a world government. And these textbooks are typical of the approved history taught in schools over the past 40 years. 19th century British Prime Minister Benjamin Disraeli commented that the world is governed by very different people from what is imagined by those who are not behind the scenes. Political and economic power is concentrated in the hands of a ruling elite that controls the banks, large corporations, major communications media, influential foundations. In fact, their power encompasses all segments of society. Their goal is to return the world to serfdom with themselves as controllers of world affairs. Founded in 1921, the Council of Foreign Relations, located in New York City, is the American branch of a society that it originated in England and is a key link between the ruling elite and the federal government. The council has been called the establishment, the invisible government, and the Rockefeller Foreign Office. Council members have held and continue to hold key government positions. Administrations, both Democrat and Republican, may change, but the Council of Foreign Relations remains to work its will from behind the scenes. The creation of the United Nations was a council project, as well as the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. The goal of the council is the establishment of a world government. On the international level, an organization similar to the council, called the Bilderbergers, includes some of the world's most powerful financiers, industrialists, politicians, and intellectuals, who meet each year for a conference on world affairs to decide how things will go for the rest of us. The goal of the Bilderbergers is the establishment of a world government. World government was always the goal of communism. The Bolshevik Revolution of 1917 was a turning point in world history. However, the revolution was financed by some of the world's richest and most powerful men. The money came primarily from America and Great Britain. Communism was forced on the Russian people from outside of Russia. Soviet economic and military development has been the result of the transfer of Western technology from Western companies, allowed and encouraged by Western governments, principally the United States, Great Britain, France, Germany, and Italy. Communism was a movement created and manipulated by some of the world's most powerful and wealthy men in order to gain control of the world. While the communist world is becoming more like the West, America is going in the opposite direction. The political concepts of the United States have undergone a gradual alteration in order to promote administrative government by appointed bureaucrats rather than the constitutionally mandated representative government by elected officials. A network of organizations headquartered at what is called 1313 at the University of Chicago have been working to restructure local, state, and federal government. 1313 affiliates developed the regional framework to merge city-county government, then county district, district-state, state-region, and on to a region-international merger into a one-world government. The program of these social science organizations is a totally managed and controlled society. Centralization of government functions is a basic socialist principle. Centralization takes government away from the people. The key factor is control. The computer-based planning, programming, and budgeting system is the mechanism for that control. This system was promoted as a modern space-age method for budgeting and accounting, but it is used to achieve behavioral objectives designed to capture the decision-making process of government. Systematic management and control of society replaces self-government. The use of social engineering to control what people think makes a mockery of the informed consent of the governed, the very cornerstone of the Constitution. The conditioning of the mind is not a legitimate function of government. It is the hallmark of tyranny. The dramatic events taking place in the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe are part of a carefully orchestrated propaganda campaign designed to condition the people of the world to accept the eventual merging of East and West into a one-world superstate. A one-world government means the loss of national sovereignty for the United States. All areas of our culture have been corrupted in order to promote this program, and psychological warfare is being waged against the public to accept it, and even demand some of the changes necessary to bring about a new dark age on this planet. The plan is as old as history, with its modern manifestation having reared its ugly head in 1776 when Adam Weishaupt, professor of canon law at the University of Ingolstadt in Bavaria, founded the Order of the Illuminati, the Enlightened Ones. The goal of the Illuminati was the creation of a new world order. This was to be accomplished by infiltrating all areas of society and destroying civilization from within. The public has been deluded about the material aims of a few and the very existence of the hidden rulers who sit at the very pinnacle of power and see themselves as lords of this planet. The purpose of government is inexorably tied to the purpose of life. The sum of good government is knowledge of the purpose of life and the administration of society towards that goal. If the men in leadership positions in the world do not know the objective of life, then they are not capable of administering a peaceful society. If, however, they do know, then what we see happening in the world is the deliberate attempt to undermine the primary objective of life. The missing dimension in world politics is the spiritual dimension. The problems of life cannot be solved by material means. Modern civilization is missing the point of life. Human life is meant for understanding spiritual values. Real knowledge is knowing yourself, what you are, what God is, and understanding your relationship and duty to God. It is our duty to understand God, abide by His laws, and learn to love Him. Then all of our problems will be solved. When men are not governed by God, they will be ruled by tyrants. The material world is just like a prison. The spirit soul is imprisoned in a material body, which is imprisoned in the material world. We do not belong in this material world. We are spirit souls and belong to the spiritual world. Modern civilization is wrongly directed to the fulfillment of sense gratification, the basis of material life and a barrier to spiritual realization. The demonic believe that the enjoyment of the senses is the ultimate goal of life. However, it is not possible to become peaceful and happy in the attempt to gratify the temporary senses. The result is usually the opposite. A materialistic culture based on sense gratification agitates the mind and senses. Unless one controls the mind and senses, one cannot make any spiritual advancement. The great sages of all bona fide religions were completely free of material attachments, because they knew that spirit is permanent while matter is temporary. Our present culture would have us debase ourselves and become more and more entangled in materialism, so that the path to the spiritual world is blocked. The demonic wish to make this planet a closed system, where it cannot function for the purpose it was intended. The material world was created to give man the opportunity to purify himself of his material consciousness. For the aim of life is to go back home, back to God. The demonic cannot go back home until they rid themselves of their demonic mentality, and so they wish to make it impossible for anyone else to return home. This is the ultimate goal of psychological warfare, to entangle man in materialism so that he cannot return home, back to the Supreme Lord.
Mind control in America. Break it.
Mind Control in America, written and produced by Stephen Jacobson, MCIA Media, Post Office Box 15734, Winston-Salem, North Carolina 27113.